Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hey, guys. It is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun, too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino-style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Adventures in Angular. Y'all, I record so many of these, I almost lost track of which one I was on. This week on our panel, we have Subrat Mishra.
Hello, hello.
I'm Charles Maxwood from Top End Devs, and this week we're talking to Maria Korneva. Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
All right, Maria, do you want to tell us who you are and why you're awesome and all that stuff?
Why not? Yes, I'm a front-end technology lead at a small German company. I'm developing some web applications by day, and I'm writing some blogs by night. Here and now, I also have some talks at meetups and conferences. Yes, and I also like drawing, so I try to illustrate my blogs with some drawings. That's it, I guess.
Cool. Hey, folks, this is Charles Maxwood from Top End Devs. And lately, I've been working on actually building out Top End Devs. If you're interested, you can go to topenddevs.com/podcast, and you can actually hear a little bit more about my story, about why I'm doing what I'm doing with Top End Devs, why I changed it from devchat.tv to Top End Devs. But what I really want to get into is that I have decided that I'm going to build the platform that I always wished I had with devchat.tv. And I renamed it to Top End Devs because I want to give you the resources that are going to help you to build the career that you want, right? So whether you want to be an influencer in tech, whether you want to go and just max out your salary and then go live a lifestyle with your family, your friends, or just traveling the world or whatever, I want to give you the resources that are going to help you do that. We're going to have career and leadership resources in there, and we're going to be giving you content on a regular basis to help you level up and max out your career. So go check it out at topenddevs.com. If you sign up before my birthday, that's December 14th. If you sign up before my birthday, you can get 50% off the lifetime of your subscription. Once again, that's topenddevs.com.
So looking at this blog post that we found on Medium, did you draw that?
Yes.
That illustration? That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, mine would be like a little stick figure. It'd be like, is that a human stick figure? So I'm impressed.
Thank you.
Very cool. Well, we got you on to talk about it. It says how to proxy HTTP requests in Angular. And it was interesting because, I mean, I remember using proxy servers when I was in college and stuff to get around the filtering that the university did. Don't tell anybody. I guess it's been 20 years, so it doesn't matter anymore. But, you know, just stuff like that. You know, we all kind of think about different proxies and maybe have used something like Charles Proxy or something like that. But it looks like you're not really doing that so much as actually building in kind of a proxy on your own end where you have like a fake back end and stuff. So do you want to kind of give us a 10,000 foot view on what you're talking about when you're talking about proxying the requests? And then we can dive into why, and then we can dive into how.
Sure. Actually, I was really surprised that you addressed this topic because, I was really surprised by myself when I discovered this topic for myself when I started to write this blog, because I joined a project and everything was working fine. And then I started to dig deeper and deeper, and then I discovered that they're using those proxies as proxy configurations. And then I started to explore this topic and trying to understand why do we need those proxies at all? Because actually, in the basic tutorial in Angular, you won't hear about it. But this is so elemental, so basic, and so, well, really useful that I think everyone should know how to proxy those requests to work with backend, to work with localhost backend, to work with different environments, to work with fake backend, etc. So there's so many use cases, And the functionality is really elementary. So that was my motivation why I wrote this. And then I was really surprised that you discovered it and they wanted to talk about it. That's for the teasing, for as a teaser, as the motivation for the talk.
Yeah, well, it makes sense. And if you kind of read through it, you'll get an idea. Oh, this is pretty useful. But why don't you tell us, you know, what do you use this for? Like, where does this approach come in for you?
Actually, in the current project, we're mostly using this with a fake backend. We're using a library called JSON Server. This is pretty well-known one. And this is actually a very useful one. I recommend it to everyone. This is not like a commercial or something. It's really just my favorite library in this sense. And once you fake backend, you also want to have a switch because you don't want to occasionally deliver this to production with some fake backend connections. I guess you won't. And that's why you need something which is pretty easy to switch to use so that you say, okay, once I start my application with some particular flag, I'm using the fake backend. And once I start the application normally without any flags, then I just go to the normal server. And this is how the proxy works in this use case. We set an environment variable to true, which like fake backend variable. And in my proxy, if we read this variable and if it's set to true, then the proxy gets activated and then all my requests go to the fake backend. And if the variable is set to false, then it's not proxied to some fake backend, it goes to the server. The advantage of this approach is that I don't have to care about, like I don't have to worry about those switches in production because they're just not there. And I don't have to change anything in my code, like in the code that I write for the application. It's just the configuration of the proxy, which comes additionally to the application.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense to me. You run it in production without any flags. And so it just connects to the regular back end. But yeah, on your machine, you can stand up the fake back end and then you just tell it, hey, use this config.
Yes.
And yeah, you know, this is something that I think we all run into at one point or another in our career, right? Where it's, hey, look, you know, I need to be able to control what I'm getting, you know, out of a database or from a back end or from some service or some API or, you know, whatever you want it to be, right? I need to know how this behaves under this circumstance, the other circumstance, and the other circumstance. And so if you can stand up a fake back end that has all of your different use cases in it, then yeah, you can just move around your app and make it behave in the way that you want and make sure that what you're seeing is what you're expecting.
Yes, absolutely. Well, I've considered several approaches. Of course, you can just mock your data in your component or in your service, but then you change your code. You can also have some switches in your code checking for the environment. But again, this is the functionality which does not contribute to the app functionality. Mm-hmm. This is not a business logic that you're writing. And any switch, any additional check for some development environments introduces a security threat. So I prefer not to have any switches in my code, directly in my code, but rather solve it via some configurations.
Yeah, that makes sense. I could also see this as a convenient way to, for example, if I'm running into a bug in production, right? I can effectively copy the payload into this fake backend and then say, do your thing, right? And just see what happens.
Yes, there are a couple of more use cases for fake backend too. In my current project, we have some really rare test user combinations. And to get there, we need to wait for the real test users for weeks, which, well, slows down the development tremendously. That's why we just can configure those test users in our fake backend and get them immediately. Mm-hmm. The same is valid for some dates that we want to test so that we just get some really rare combinations, the 29th of February in September.
Right. Yeah. The other one I can see that you could play with is time zones.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Subrat.
No, what I was saying is I got to work with, I think, a fake backend or a mocking HTTP server. As you start both the front end and the back end at the same time, there is no request present for the backend to serve, then you know that this is the response which you'll get going to get. And that's how we started using that. But in later, it gives us a lot of flexibility. Like if we need some extra functionality, which we need to test in the front end, if it is fine, then it will be implemented in the back end. So this is just, like you told, it's just a flag thing and that is going to work. That's a pretty handy scenario. Like if the both the front end and back end we are starting together, then it's a pretty good use case to go for. I think there are a lot of framework. What I have used is not at all depend on any call. It's all stays in Angular. You just need to switch the use class to a different service, and that will work as it is, as an interceptor or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tested interceptors too. However, I know myself, I always forget to comment it out and to change this to switch to the real interceptor. And then I'm always afraid to deliver something to production, which it just doesn't do what it's supposed to do. Yeah. But you're right that using the fake backend is a way to decouple those two. And I don't have to wait for the real implementation. I don't have to wait for my colleagues to ship the backend. I can work with it. If I have this regular definition, that's enough for me. And then I can spin on off a fake backend and then just work with this till it's ready.
Yeah. But one thing it's not a negative though. But I think if you're using fake backend or any flag, we should have a documentation it properly. I mean, document it properly, because one is like scenario happened in my team was past experience that a new guy came, we forgot him to inform that we are using this, and he started using API call and saying why it's not working because he haven't gone in. Then we came to like, okay, this we are using this is not hitting the server. Then so I think if you're using this, then it should be in the initial of the documentation that there is a flag which will use fake backend to the real backend. Mm-hmm. Then it will not be a create a chaos for a newcomer.
Yeah, that's true. And the threat is also like it's also a certain risk to derive too far away from the real data. Once you stay with some desired values, you develop differently. You don't check for nulls, you don't check for undefineds, because in your data you always get something. And then there is a big surprise when you switch to the real service, and then you get some other data which you haven't predicted. But yeah, those are the downsides of fake backend.
Yep. I think nowadays, if you're using monorepo or NX, then that is solved. If both the front end and back end will use the same interface or same class as a model. But yeah, but currently, it is, I think a lot of projects are different as an independent project. But I think two podcasts back, I think we have someone from NX, so that we discuss like how it is useful to have a single interface and use it in both. So that's a pretty lifesaver for front and back end integration. Yeah, obviously that will also help in this scenario as well.
Yeah, that's true. Especially if you use Node and JS and backend and C, easy to use the same type definitions for both front end and backend. But proxying, like we were talking about proxying in the beginning, actually working with a fake backend is just one of those use cases. This is the one that, Charles, you asked me what I'm using now. So this was the major use case in my project. So working with the fake backend. However, it's also useful for effortless switching between the environments, because normally you wouldn't introduce the whole URL in your HTTP request. It would work rather with the relative paths, so that you have your test environment, staging environment, and production environment /API/users, for example. Mm-hmm. And proxying to the particular environment allows you to get your data when working on localhost. This is also what we use in our current project setup, so that when we work on localhost, when I'm developing some features, I proxy my requests to the test environment and I get the real data from our service, which is deployed there. And then once I'm ready, I deploy my application in the test environment. And since I'm using the relative paths, that's still working. And once the tests are through and once I deliver it to the staging environment, I don't have to change the code of the application itself because I still, like, the code still has those relative URLs. So then it, again, there's no changes needed. And the only thing that I have to set up is the AngularJSON file where I say that for the development mode, you use another proxy configuration, and for the staging, another one, and for production, one more. Yep. So, yeah.
Nice. Hey, folks, I'm here with JD from Raygun. You know, JD, we were talking just a second ago about empathy, and it seems like a common concept within the programming community. And yet, when we're building features for customers, a lot of times we call it done when it passes CI, deploys, and doesn't give us errors. And that really doesn't seem very empathetic when it comes to our customers because we're not looking at what they're doing. Do you have thoughts on this?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, at the end of the day, until your code actually hits the customer, you don't really know if it's any good. You know, everybody uses things in so many different weird and wonderful ways. You can only really debug in production.
Yeah, I've been there. It's done. It's not done. Oh, crap. It's not done. I got to go fix it. Now it's done.
Yeah, absolutely. And when we see things like error reports flowing into Raygun,
right,
you know, a lot of the time it's things where you just kind of go, oh, that was a configuration that as a developer, I didn't think could exist, but actually here's an example. And so it's connecting that code to customer and your development team through to real users and their experiences, which to your point, builds real empathy. And the best software teams care a lot about how their customers are experiencing their software.
Right. It's kind of the feedback from the app, but it's also kind of this meta feedback. As we do better, we tend to get less of this negative input back from our customer, which really does reflect empathy.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also think, to your point earlier about CI/CD pipelines, like, we've done an amazing amount of work as an industry to automate getting to prod really fast. But if you really want to go super fast, you need to close that loop with real-time feedback from prod back to the dev team. And that allows them to do things like fail forward and just do, you know, really leverage that investment in CI/CD, and it can turn into a real superpower.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to encourage you folks, yeah, set up your CI/CD, but then go sign up for Raygun. They'll actually give you a free trial and you can get it at raygun.com. Now, you mentioned something about Swagger. So we're using OpenAPI/Swagger setup for this. And does this work for other types of things like GraphQL or some other crazy setup where I'm just making up my own endpoints with .json at the end?
Yes. You have the possibility to define some endpoints using wildcards so that you say all the requests that have API in the path or all the requests that have some particular values there will be proxied somewhere else. So you have the opportunity to filter. You can use just a list of them. You can also have some, as I said, some regex expressions. You have even the opportunity to rewrite the path. So let's say you can work locally with something like /API/foo/bar. And then you have the option to rewrite foo/bar and remove it from the path to proxy to some server. So you also have more options what to do with your requests.
That makes sense. So effectively then I can say, yeah, proxy to my crazy setup where I just made up the path names, and
yes,
it'll map it however I tell it to.
Yes. And if you're even more crazy, you can set secure to false, and then you can even switch off HTTPS off, which is particularly relevant if you are working on localhost and plan to send your requests to the server with to the service which is deployed in the test environment, because usually they won't like it if they get some cross-origin requests from localhost. But if you proxy it with the configuration of secure set to false, then you can effectively switch it off.
Makes sense to me.
Yeah, that's another use case. As I said, like, when developing on localhost, I usually have the following configuration of setting it to secure to false, and then setting the context, like putting all the APIs, all the URLs that I need for my request in the context, and then specifying the target, which is the environment where I want to proxy my request to.
And when you're running your test, do you stand up a fake backend for that too then? Or do you, is that only on the end-to-end tests? Or do you use this in testing at all?
For the unit test, we have the HTTP testing module, which Angular provides. So I usually take this one.
Right.
And for end-to-end tests, the application is already deployed in the development or staging environment, and there's usually proxied to the same origin. So I don't have to proxy there. Basically, it's you need a proxy always when you are not in the same environment where your service is.
Okay.
Like mostly in localhost.
Yeah.
So we've covered the local development and proxying this to some deployed service, but sometimes you also have your backend with you, so in the same mono repo, and then you have your backend running on localhost 3000 and your Angular app running on localhost 4200, then you can also proxy your requests to the backend URL because you need to change the port, otherwise it wouldn't work. So this one is another use case where you can use proxy.
Mm-hmm. So what I mean is your backend port can be dynamic and that can also be handled through the proxy if that is the scenario.
Yeah.
Like maybe if the backend is running in a Docker and it's running dynamic proxy, and that you can grab that proxy maybe in a container or something, and that you can club together. I think this use case will be helpful in test containers as well. Like we have used test containers sometime, because that's how help us to create run the test by creating different Docker images, and it creates possible in the runtime we can set the port.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing that I was going to ask is what are the other approaches to solve this problem, and why did you pick this one over the other ones?
Well, the straightforward approach for proxying the request to the localhost backend, or in general, what are the
just in
other,
general?
In general,
to kind of get some sanity and control on your backend.
What you can also do, you can work with the environment files in Angular. Because these are also configurations that you can, mm-hmm. and they are meant to store your environment configurations so that you can place your URL, like environment-specific URL, in there.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And reference it in your HTTP request so that you will just import, you know, a production URL, base URL, and then /API/users. That would be another option how to do this. And this is also what Angular offers. This will solve the problem with deploying the same code in different environments. However, it won't help with fake backend, and it won't help. No, it will help with start with working with backend on localhost. That's not a problem. But as I said, it's then, well, for the fake backend, you will still need to proxy it somewhere.
Right.
So it will solve some problems.
Right. There's, that makes sense.
In the last use case, and this is really rare, but we are also facing those problems, or this is our use case in the current project too. We have a huge monorepo and we have different styling of our applications. We have several brands which belong to the same company, and we have to style them according to the corporate identity of this brand. And that's why our styling comes from different endpoints. And that's, again, the option for us to configure the proxy for this, for each particular app, to go to the respective style source and get the respective styling. That's another option, how we can have the same code and then style it in a different way depending on the proxy configuration.
Gotcha.
That's why, as I said, I was surprised by myself when I discovered that we're doing this, but like we're implementing those proxies and using this configuration, which is so basic. And it took me so long to discover this concept, and that this concept does not come in the very beginning of the Angular setup. It is mentioned in the documentation. Mm-hmm. It is part of building and serving Angular apps under Angular tools. But it took me a while to discover this section in the documentation.
Yep. So I mean, are there other tricks to this, or is it just as straightforward as it looks? You know, you set up your JSON server, you'd set up your config to point stuff to it, and then, you know, make sure your backends are giving you what you need. I mean, is it really that simple, or are there other tricks that make it, I guess, more robust or give it more oomph? I don't know.
Actually, it is that simple. It is some native capability of Angular. So we are not talking about some workaround. This is the solution that the Angular team offers. Angular uses Webpack, and Webpack relies on the HTTP middleware package under the hood, which means this is also something which works out of the box. We just need to configure it properly to set up the file, to reference it in the Angular JSON, and then we're good to go.
Cool. Now, Subrat was trying to ask a question when he dropped off. Subrat, what was your question?
Yeah, what I was asking is, if I have to maybe integration test, which will run our Docker on the go while running our test. So my question is it possible to set the port, the runtime in the proxy, to which port it will going to hit while you are running the test?
I'm just checking the documentation, because in all the examples I said that the target, and we're talking about the target of our proxy, that was the string that they used. So they just provided this statically. I need to double check if it's possible to provide a function instead of target. And if it is possible, if it works, then that should work with different ports too. As of now, I don't see any example of the function being called on there. But since this is a normal package, which provides a lot of options, I'm actually quite positive that you should be able to configure it like this. So you just need a function which will get the port, and then will return the whole target URL which you provide in the configuration.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, usually I'm using Docker Compose, so I would imagine that you could also put it into an environment variable and then just...
Yeah, that would work too. That's actually a very good point, because in your proxy configuration, you can read the environment and variables.
Yeah.
And then you can just use this part of the target. Problem solved.
Right. Yeah. So then you just say, hey, use this other container on this port in the environment variable. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see if you could, make it dynamic. So very cool. So anything else that you're working on that you want to tell us about before we move on to the next segment of the show?
Maybe just to mention, we were talking about all this fake backend stuff, which is relevant for the developers. But I noticed that we have this privileged position of faking our data as we want, being front-end developer, but our testers don't. And that's usually like, it's a pity. Like, I was able to test it, but for you, you have to wait for your test users, and you have to wait till you can test my application. That's why I really like the solution my colleagues came up with, where they wrote a script which runs on some middleware layer, let's say APIC or anything that you have between your servers and outer world. And this script runs there and checks for the headers or for the cookies. It's up to you what to check. And then you can set those headers or cookies in your browser, like the tester can do this, and configure the desired outcome or the desired response of the server, being it 404 or some mock data which is required for this test use case. And the script does the following. It looks at the cookies or the header, and if it sees some particular value in there, the script knows that this request should not be proxied to the server, to the actual server. It will directly respond with the values that are provided in this cookie, so that it looks, for the application, it looks as if the server request responds with the error response or with some desired data. And I think this is also really important, because it's being able to develop fast to mock data as a developer is just one half of the whole process. And that's what I really like about this script or this idea, that you can also give your testers some more options. And the same is valid for some proxy. Another colleague of mine wrote a proxy in a different context. We're out of the Angular application there, but it doesn't matter. And there was a proxy who would check, which would check the headers and do the same. So it wouldn't even reach any middleware layers out there, it would just stop at the application layer in the browser and go back with some desired response. Yes. So this is another aspect of the whole mocking data story.
Yeah. I've seen a couple of approaches to this. I mean, one is, you know, kind of what you're talking about, where you either intercept the signal coming in and, you know, just give the response that you want. I've also seen systems. I mostly do backend development, actually, in Ruby on Rails. And so we have a seeds file that will seed data into your database. And so you could set up basically a testing seed. And then, you know, based on your environment, you just run the seed and it just populates the data you want. You have to maintain that, but you have to maintain any other automation or script that you run anyway. But yeah, I mean, however that works, there are a lot of ways to do it. It's interesting though, just kind of think about, you know, you could slide something in that middleware and manage what you need.
Yep.
I've also seen people do it with like an actual proxy system, like Charles Proxy or something.
Mm-hmm.
Because then again, they can put the response that they expect to send back. That doesn't quite get you end to end because your back end may have a bug, you know, it may do something you don't expect. But if you're just making sure that the front end reacts properly, yeah, there are a lot of ways to do it. But it sounds like you've got an elegant solution there.
Yeah, I really like it because our testers are happy. And the more the testers can test during the test phase, the less bugs in production we have, the better I can sleep on Friday night.
Makes sense. Yeah, I write bugs all the time. Subrat never does, but you know, it's a constant battle for me.
No, my bugs always come Friday night. It'll always like once you thought that this weekend will be good, and someone will call like it's a bugging production.
Yeah, we ordered your favorite pizza. Get into the office.
Oh.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and wind down. I'm really curious, before we do that, if people want to follow anything else that you're writing or ask you questions about this, how do they connect with you online?
They can ping me on Twitter. I'm @browserperson on Twitter. So drop me a line. If it's more professional, you can connect via LinkedIn. It's Maria-Korneva. So I'd be happy to connect.
Very cool. All right.
Hi, this is Charles Maxwood from Top End Devs. And lately, I've been coaching some people on starting some podcasts and in some cases just taking their career to the next level. You know, whether you're beginner going to intermediate going to advanced, whether you're trying to get noticed in the community or go freelance, I've been helping these folks figure out how to get in front of people, how to build relationships and how to build their careers and max out and just go to the next level. So if you're interested in talking to me and having me help you go to the next level, go to topendevs.com/coaching. I will give you a 1-hour free session where we can figure out what you're trying to do, where you're trying to go, and figure out what the next steps are. And then from there, we can figure out how to get you to the place you want to go. So once again, that's topendevs.com/coaching.
Well, let's go ahead and do some picks then. Now, picks are just things that we're shouting out about. And so I'll have Subrat go first. Subrat, do you have some picks?
Yep, I think this week pick also a book I have started reading. It's a famous book, like Sapiens, A Brief History of Humankind. It's a pretty thick book. I have started reading of how humankind are evolved and those things. So I think that should be someone, if you're getting time, apart from coding, then you'll go and read this. It's a good book. Apart from that, I will try to pick another book, which I already picked maybe twice. It's a Psychology of Money. It's a pretty good book. I keep coming back to the book just to thought about like how you should think about money. It's not everything. Times matter. Money matters. Like everything matters in life. So that's how the perspective towards money will change. That's the two pick for this week.
Awesome. I'm going to jump out there with a couple of picks. I usually do a board game pick, but I haven't really been playing board games much lately. Trying to get my group of guys that I play with back together to play. And so I don't know that I have a new game to throw out that I haven't already picked. So I'm just going to forego that for a minute. I'm going to put up a couple of other picks that I have. First of all, I've been talking to a friend of mine and he's been helping me kind of get some branding stuff together, which has been awesome. And so I've kind of gotten back on the email bandwagon and stuff like that. So I'm going to throw out some of the things that I'm using to connect with people. And I'm going to be integrating all this into Top End Devs. So if you want to get some of the stuff that I'm talking about, that we'll have it there. One of them is ActiveCampaign, which is an email system so that I can send emails out. I'm planning on, you know, just putting out content and putting that stuff together. I've also basically gotten things together for Top End Devs so that I can start doing video series and courses. And so I'm going to be putting out a course on how to stay current, because I get asked that all the time. How do I stay current on stuff? The other thing that I'm also going to be putting out is a course on, or a series rather. So one of the things that really helped me when I was coming up as a developer was there was a series called Railscasts. And what it was, what's his name? It'll come to me in a minute. Anyway, the guy that was putting it together, he did a video every week about some aspect of Rails. And I'd like to do that for all the different shows that we have, right? So I'd like to have one for Angular, one for React, and one for Ruby, and one for JavaScript. And I'm probably going to do some of them. I'm probably going to be enlisting people to do the rest of them. So if you're interested in doing it for React or for Angular, sorry, not React. I haven't been on the React show for a while, a long while. But if you're interested in doing it for Angular, let me know. We're also doing an Angular remote conference in November. So if you want to speak at that, the CFP is open and you can buy tickets for it right now. And it's a good time to kind of go to your boss and say, hey, look, this is a great way for me to kind of connect with other people and level up and know what's going on in Angular and stuff like that. Especially if you couldn't make it to ng-conf, which actually is going on as we speak. But yeah, you know, it's just another opportunity for you to get to interact with people. The system we're using allows you to actually join conversations with people and talk to them, kind of like how we're talking from Utah, India, and Germany, right? Over a video. It has tables and it allows like 8 people to get on and do a video, voice, chat, talk like this. So we're going to have a robust hallway track. And then if your company is hiring or something and you want to sponsor and kind of get your name out there, that's a good way to go too. But anyway, that's just kind of the stuff I'm using there. The, like I said, the email marketing system is ActiveCampaign. The texting system that I'm setting up is on community.com. And the phone number will also be on the website. You have to have a US number, I think, US or Canada. I think they're working on getting into texting systems for the other countries, but I don't think they're there yet. And then the system we're using for the conferences is called AirMeet. That's AirMeet. And like I said, we're going to have networking sessions in the whole nine yards. But I'm really excited about all this stuff. It feels like it's finally coming together. I've got this vision of where we can get to with this stuff. And ultimately, what I'm about is I really just want to help people. Hey, look, you know, whatever your career is that you're kind of dreaming of, you know, whether it's I want to be the CTO of a startup that goes big, or, you know, I just want to be a senior developer and then go hiking in the afternoon and anything in between, right? I want to be an influencer with a podcast or a blog, and I want to help people that way. I want to give you the resources that you need in order to do that. And I feel like kind of serving some of these technical skills needs is there. But then the other thing is I want to provide people with the coaching and content that's going to help them go, okay, I know I need to level up on how I talk to my coworkers. So I'm going to do a course on that, right? Or I need to know how to lead a team, right? Because I'm kind of at that place where I'm starting to become a team lead. And I want to put that stuff together so that whatever it is that you're dreaming you want, you can have. And in the meantime, I'm also doing some coaching. So if you go to topendevs.com/coaching, you can sign up for some of that stuff. What it'll do is it'll actually fill in the form, and then you'll get a link where you can schedule a half hour call with me. And we'll just talk through what you need, and then we'll figure out how we can do weekly follow-up to get you where you want to go. Plus any other content that I'm making for people, you know, a lot of that will be focused around the questions people are asking and the coaching, because I know how to address that. So anyway, and I've helped people through this stuff for years, and I'm excited to be able to do it in a more focused way. But anyway, I have rambled long enough. But yeah, one of the things he did is he walked me through that visioning stuff. And I've been fired up ever since then, because I just keep thinking about kind of what it feels like and what it looks like. So anyway, Maria, what are your picks?
Wow, I'm still so enchanted by this inspirational talk. So I've prepared 2 picks, because I really like those live coding sessions with my business colleagues, where they come with some ideas to me, like, you know, once they see the buttons, they want to change the buttons. So we sit together and I just shift those buttons, change the color and change the phone size, etc., so that we are co-creating our application. And then I realized, why not give them this opportunity to do this by themselves? So my business colleagues have learned how to work with dev tools, which is a huge step forward. So they can change their huge respect on them. Because this way they can change some texts on the website because they can edit it in the developer tools. And recently I've learned that actually we have a browser API which enables this for everyone, which is called document design mode. So once you switch design mode to on, like there is on and off is default, then you can change all the text data, you can delete all the elements from the website. Unfortunately, you cannot add more buttons by yourself, but at least you can change all the text on the website without any additional tools. So it's quite easy to switch on this mode, and then the business guys can work with the website, change the wording. That's one pick that I'd like to introduce also in my team. And another one has been recommended to me today by one of our testers. This is a Chrome extension, which is called Tweak, Mock and Modify HTTP Requests, which fits to our topic. And I find it really cool that our tester recommended this to me because he was so excited that this tool, this extension, helped him a lot working with HTTP requests and doing what we were discussing before. So this is something which enables testers to test my software and gives me more time to focus on my coding instead of supporting the testers and providing something, some tooling for them, how to mock requests. They have this extension and they can work with us. I can provide the links to both of my picks, the documentation of the API and the link to this extension. But those tools are for me something which helps my team members to win the whole development process. And I like it.
That's awesome. I might have to pick your brain and share it with people on how you get the business people into tools. Because, because that level of collaboration is really hard to get. And, you know, not that they have to learn how to code necessarily, but just so that they can get their fingers on what's actually going on.
Yeah, it helps a lot. It helps really a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's ultimately what it's about, right? It's that communication, that level of communication you get. Very cool. Well, we'll go ahead and wrap it up. This was awesome, Maria. Thank you so much for coming and sharing with us. And yeah, I had no idea that this proxy stuff was even built into Angular. So
thank you for having me. It was fun.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up here. Till next time, folks. Max out.
Bandwidth for this segment is provided by CacheFly, the world's fastest CDN. Deliver your content fast with CacheFly. Visit CacheFly.com to learn more.
Are you looking for a way to support the adventure? That's right, Adventures in Angular. Then look no further than adventuresinangular.com/premium. It's $9 a month and you'll get access to ad-free episodes. You'll also get access to bonus content. As well, you'll be able to join our planning calls every month where we sit down and we talk about what we want to cover on the show, who we want to invite, and we'll get your ideas on what we should be asking and what we should be looking for in our next topic. Finally, it's just a terrific way to support the show. So go to adventuresinangular.com/premium and sign up.